Good morning. The House Secondary Education and Career Development Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn on your microphones for the roll call. Missy, will you please call the roll?
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Schoaf.
Here.
Ranking Member Bush.
Here.
Representative Andrade.
Here.
Representative Benjamin.
Here.
Representative Barrero.
Here.
Representative Fisher. Representative is excused. Representative Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Representative Harding.
Here.
Representative Maggard.
Here.
Representative Maney.
Here.
Representative Omfroy. Representative Rizzo.
Here.
Representative Robinson.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Representative Valdez.
Present.
Representative Woodson.
Here.
Representative Yarborough.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Members, please remember to silence all your electronic devices. Please be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or presenters. Make sure your microphones are on and you've been recognized, and when you're voting on a bill. In order to abide by our COVID guidelines, please remember to keep your face mask on at all times when speaking at the podium. This applies to members and the public. Members, today we have three bills on the agenda, and we're going to get through all of them within our allotted time. This means I will evaluate the number of appearance cards, and if needed, I will limit the time for public testimony. This morning, we're going to move to HJR 1461 by Representative Garrison, prohibition on compensation for members of a district school board. Representative Garrison, you are recognized to explain House Joint Resolution 1461.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, members. HJR 1461 seeks to reform Florida's system of school board compensation by putting forward a constitutional amendment before the voters of the state at the next general election that, if adopted, would specify that members of district school boards shall serve without compensation. Simply put, Florida's system of compensating school board members with salaries and benefits to the extent that we do is a national outlier. According to data from the National School Board Association, 61% of district school board members in America serve without compensation. And of the remaining 39%, nearly three quarters of those are paid an annual salary of $5,000 or less. In Florida, the average school board salary is in the mid-30s with an additional approximately $10,000 to $11,000 in benefits. School boards, as everyone on this board, everyone on this committee knows, serve a vital and important function. They are nonpartisan. They are designed to be the voice of the community and provide oversight in terms of budget and curriculum. It's a critical function, but one, quite frankly, that unfortunately has turned into one that's become highly politicized. And quite frankly, I think these salaries have a lot to do with that. It's time to, this joint resolution would give the voters of the state the opportunity to bring our school boards back in line with national standards and return the function to that role in which it was intended, that to be a voice of the community. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the resolution.
Thank you, Representative Garrison. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill. But I do have a question with regards to Florida and Florida's Constitution. Are there any other elected members with nonpartisan positions, with highly politicized positions, for whom we don't provide compensation?
You're right, Chair.
I don't know that I know. I hope I answered your question correctly. There is nothing else quite like school boards in our system of governance. To my mind, school boards are particularly unique in terms of the role they play and the function that they play. So in answer to your question, if there is, I'm not aware of it, but traditionally our constitutional officers are primarily, we talk about sheriffs, tax collectors, things of those natures. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about nonpartisan board members that provide the oversight function for our local schools. It's a unique situation.
Mr. Chair, follow up.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
So you're saying that they are uniquely more important than our property appraisers, our sheriffs, our cities, any other nonpartisan elected position that we have that forms the basis upon which our government functions in a totality. So you would agree that they are part of a system of governance that's part of a collective, and all parts are important, wouldn't you say?
Chair?
You're recognized.
Well, there's two questions. For answer your first question, are school boards unique? Yes, they have serve a unique function. They are different than a local sheriff. They are different than a property appraiser, than a tax collector. They are a board. And boards provide oversight. Boards do not have executive authority. In Florida, the executive authority for our district schools is performed by our district superintendents on a macro level and by our principals on a local level in the schools. School board members provide that different function. They are an oversight function. They provide, but they take care of, they're responsible for budgets, they're responsible for curriculums, and other functions that are designated to them pursuant to statute. Comparing them to sheriffs or comparing them to tax collectors or property appraisers, I respectfully submit, is comparing apples to oranges.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Questions? Questions, members? All right, seeing none, are there appearance cards? There are appearance cards. Okay. Damian Jane, Miami-Dade County Public Schools waves in opposition. Wendy Dodge, Polk County Public Schools waves in opposition. Billy Ann Gay. Florida School Boards Association. Good morning, Ms. Gay, you're recognized.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman and Committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. My name is Billy Ann Gay. I'm with the Florida School Boards Association. I'd like to start by saying thank you to Chair McClain, the bill sponsor, and many of you from the committee who took the time to meet with us to discuss our concerns with this joint resolution. At this point, all committee members also should have received a letter from our executive director outlining our concerns with specificity. As you know, school board members, similar to their constitutionally elected peers, such as county commissioners, are currently compensated for their time, their liability, the great responsibility of budget oversight, in many cases in Florida, the hiring and firing of district school superintendents, and other responsibilities that they may encounter with this important civic role. We believe that that should continue. In response to some questions or some comments that were made just earlier in the committee, it is true that there are many examples across the nation of school boards who are not compensated. It is also true there are very few, if any, examples of states whose K-12 governance structure mirrors ours in Florida. We have 67 school districts. Those are drawn on county lines, resulting, as you all know, in much larger enrollments compared to most states. Just for context, the state of Texas, similarly populated state, has over 1,000 school districts. So I think you can see how the responsibility would be diffused there. While we do look forward and we appreciate the conversations with the bill sponsor, we do oppose this today. In addition to some of our other comments, we do feel that this would narrow the focus to community members who have the ability to serve without compensation. We see that as an equity issue, and we value the diverse boards across the state that are serving their local communities. So we respectfully ask that you vote down on this today. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Doolin, Small School District Council Consortium.
Good morning. My name is Chris Doolin. I represent small rural school districts. Thank you, Chairman, Vice Chairman, Mr. Maney. Thank you, sir. Nice to meet you. Kaylee, good to see you too. It's not often that the first time you meet a member, you're opposing his bill. And even though we've talked and, you know, he's under the tutelage of Travis Cummins, so I'm sure we'll work very closely together, so I thank you. What is the value of school boards? What is the value of a school board member? What is the value of inclusion? What is the value of providing the opportunity for diversity? Those questions are what I pondered on. The prohibition of compensation will have the effect of limiting the ability of Floridians to consider running. Now, part of the staff analysis and The rep didn't mention this. The proposal would align school boards with other state education governing boards. That's the second sentence of the staff analysis. Well, who are these other boards, and what's the need to align them? You got the State Board of Education, appointed by the governor. You have boards of trustees. You have the Board of Governors for the state university system, college boards. And you have school boards. How many calls do you think the Florida State University Board of Trustees get from parents that are irritated? Probably not very many. It's just not a fair comparison to equate that. Florida school board members are the eyes and ears of the public. They oversee, they're elected by the voters. Why should this bill concern you? You could easily say, well, we're going to let the voters decide. But y'all set the policy for the state. What is the framework that you want to ensure for the opportunity for our boards? People with small businesses. Now, granted, we're talking about compensation. We're talking about salaries. People with small businesses, working moms, single-income parents, people struggling with COVID and everything else to just get by, there will be an impact. The potential group of candidates, less reflective of diversity, less involvement of an interest to go to that extra meeting in the community. That's wrong, but that will be an impact. People who are not independently wealthy will face challenges. Sole breadwinners will not, single parents. Current compensation provisions enable people to offset some of the cost of service. And you know that service costs, you know that. You know, the contribution to the fair, traveling around your, you know. So what's the cost here? $15 million. Now, I don't mean to make light of that, because someone could say, well, Mr. Doolin, every dollar is important. Well, it absolutely is. $15 million. That is 15.5 ten-thousandths percent of the state budget. Is that worth a statement that says, school board members, we understand. Service on the boards is extremely important. The small school districts, we met as an executive committee, they support the current provision. And as far as 61% or more not being salaried around the country, I'll guarantee you they don't have our accountability system. I'll guarantee they don't have state performance. I'll guarantee they don't have the diversity in the classrooms that they have to oversee and the problems that we face. So I understand. Let's just let the people decide. No, you set the policy. You know what the dynamics are in these elections nowadays. It is politically difficult. So I would ask you to consider that. I appreciate the opportunity and the time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir, and I wish you all well. Thank you.
Christelis Estanga? I'm sorry? Okay, thank you. Andy Oliver?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Reverend Andy Oliver. I'm pastor of Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. I stand before you the proud graduate of George Marks Elementary in DeLand, Madison Middle School in Titusville, Sebastian River High School in Indian River County, and the University of Florida. I am a product of Florida Public Schools. I'm an even prouder parent of two boys in public schools in Pinellas County. I'm here to oppose a bill that would dramatically change our public schools. Eliminating salaries of school board members would all but guarantee that only wealthy people would have a seat at the table to shape our local schools. Why is it the school board members are the only elected officials included? Is this simply another way for lawmakers to enforce their agenda and control over local school boards? Is this part of the controlling party's desire to dismantle public schools? The last election, I worked hard to help elect a school board member who is a member of the working class. Had this bill been in place, she would not have been able to serve. We desperately, desperately, desperately need her voice at our table. Passing this bill would ensure that our school board members would have more wealth, and given the statistics of our wealth gap, they would be more male and more white. Given the bill's sponsors' rationale, perhaps a modest proposal would be to eliminate House representative salaries before we target the school board. Please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. That was all the appearance cards, member. We are members. We are now in debate. Debate. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Rep, for the laughs and the opportunity to talk in the member lounge and in other places about your bill. But I'm a little confused, or I should say, and I'm a little confused, because in your testimony, you compared us to the National School Boards Association, and we take pride in Florida by saying that we lead the way on how things should operate in government. First of all, comparing our system to others is a little bit disingenuous in the sense that in so many different states, you have thousands of school boards. You have a school board in Arizona that has an elementary district that has one school in it, and that is a school board that's in charge of an elementary school. I don't expect compensation for that, because that's almost like a PTA, if you will, with a little bit more oversight. That's the way I would compare it to. In the state of Florida, we lead the way in many ways. We have 67 counties, large school districts, medium-sized school district, small school districts, of which their compensations are by formula based on student population. I shared with you my story, and I'll share it again for the benefit of the committee. When I was elected to the school board in 2004, I had two jobs, and I only had a high school diploma, of which I'm very proud of, because degrees don't necessarily make you who you are. They just give you a little title and say you went to school and spent money to get your degree. Since I've been elected, I proudly wear this lanyard of my alma mater, high school alma mater, AP Lato Comprehensive High School. Go Falcons. When I was elected to the school board, I did have D's and F's in my district. This particular school, my high school, my beloved high school, had a 64% graduation rate. Under no circumstances would I would continue to allow that happening in my community. I worked hard, kept my two jobs. And it wasn't that I was so physically tired as I was mentally exhausted. I, as a school board member, busted my chops in my district to be able to provide equity in my district, to provide opportunities of students that looked like me and others in this committee that otherwise prior to that were completely ignored. And when I tell you completely ignored, I mean it. Facilities were run down. I have no muscles, as you can tell. And at a baseball dugout, I could literally move a brick in which our kids were playing in those fields. In comparison to other high schools in the district, these boys would come back with tears in their eyes saying, "Ms. Valdez, why is it that our school looks like this and we go play in other places and it's a whole different field and experience. If not for a school board member like myself that stuck her neck out and spoke truth to power and said, this is unacceptable for the kids of my district, I wouldn't be able to tell you today that my high school, when I left to come from the schoolhouse, hashtag schoolhouse to the state house, had a 90.3 graduation rate. No D's or F's in my district because it was unacceptable. I didn't have the means to be able to say, I'll do this without any compensation, because I too have a family to support. And while supporting my students in my district, it took a lot. And a lot of investment as well to be able to help our students. And for that work, I am extremely proud. And I'll do it again if I have to. So I'm here to tell you, and I agree with the speakers, that diversity within our electoral process is extremely important. And by suggesting that we do this, I agree with one of the speakers. We're going to have white males on these boards that never, ever would be able to say they walked a day in my shoes or in some of my colleagues' shoes. I believe that if there is a bad board member that we don't like, work hard and get them unelected. I also believe that if we have a school board, which we do have currently in the state, a school board that has literally no power because they've turned into a charter-ran district, I agree with you there. Absolutely. Because we're paying a salary for board members and a superintendent that has no oversight, no nothing. I agree with you there. If that's the situation, cut their salaries out because they could be home sitting eating bonbons, but not doing the work of the people. So I caution us. We are an example to the rest of the nation. Oftentimes we say, and we use our children as pawn, how important they are, how much we need to invest in them. Yet when we look at the outcomes, just ask for the DJJ report, sir. You're gonna see that the outcomes are what they are. I am concerned, truly concerned, as to where we're headed with these types of policies. And it's setting a precedence that's really, really scary. As our communities are changing and the face of the United States is changing, so should leadership, and so should the opportunities be afforded so that folks like myself, who started in this journey with a high school diploma and a desire to be able to help in our communities prospectively, to be able to do the work. Today, I sit before you with a bachelor's in business administration and a master's in organizational leadership. So I too value education. And if it were not for the opportunity to be compensated a little, because it's not a lot. County commissioners in my district make over $96,000 a year. They meet, discuss whatever it is, and that's it. I visited all my schools in my district. I knew my schools intimately. This bill is dangerous, and we will be changing the faces of our district's leadership, and we're going backwards. I can't support this bill today because I know from personal experiences what I was able to do alongside leadership. Most people would say, but that's not your job. And unfortunately, when you have a superintendent that tells you or tells a board member that I don't care what you say about your community. I have my four votes. We have trouble in Florida. That's what happened. And that's why that advocacy is important, because my community's voice would not have been heard if it were up to that superintendent. Please reconsider what you're proposing here. And hopefully in its next stop, it might be a different bill. If this bill were to be, say, we're gonna stop the compensation for charter-ran districts that have public school board members that were elected, absolutely. Because I believe that those dollars at that point should go to help that charter-ran organization provide services and provide educational opportunities for those students and do the job that they were set out to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Gia Lombardo, you were recognized in debate.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for this bill. So I just two things that I'm gonna point out. So earlier the comment was Florida spends about $15 million on school board members. Well, by student, it's about $9,356 to educate each student. That's 1,603 students more that we can educate. So that's point one. That's a lot of students. The second point is we have a great charter school where I'm at in our district, in my city. And their entire board, they're all volunteers. And they are just as passionate, in my opinion, more passionate than our school district members. So I think that this is a great bill, and you have my support.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Andrade, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And Florida is unique, and I wanna just echo a few statements about what some other speakers have said today about how special Florida is. We're one of only three states in the country that still has the option to elect our superintendents. So what we have is a breakdown between, I think there might be 10 or 15 school districts in the state that have partisan elected superintendents. Those school boards play no role in the hiring or firing of that executive. What I found in Escambia County after I was initially elected is with that dynamic, with that structure in place, the school board was not empowered to make decisions or engage. Not a single school board member in Escambia County does what they do for a paycheck. We led an initiative to go change our superintendent model from an elected to an appointed position, empowering that school district and that school board. Not a single school board member in Escambia County made their decision on who they were going to hire based on their compensation. We have elected boards that engaged and helped and assisted in that entire process. Our PTA got more engaged. Those members don't do it for a paycheck. They don't get a paycheck. The vast majority of people advocating and showing care for our education system in Florida are volunteers. They're parents. They have other jobs. In fact, I would venture to guess, like Representative Valdez mentioned, the vast majority of school board members in Florida have the opportunity to continue to work. And many of them do have second jobs. I think many of us have second jobs. What we have is the opportunity to empower school board members in a different way. They can't be questioned about whether or not they're going for a third or fourth term on their school board to stick it out for retirement. They are there for the right reasons. It adds some gravitas to their position and their posture as they're reviewing and setting policy if they are doing it solely because of the passion and care that they have for our students. So the financial arguments, you know, $15 million is a drop in the bucket compared to our vast education budget. But what we want to make sure is our school board in every single county in the state is only showing care and concern for the students and is relieved of any accusation of impropriety about the reasons why they might be there otherwise. So I appreciate the bill and I'm looking forward to supporting it.
Thank you, Representative. In debate, seeing none, Representative Garrison, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank Representative Valdez personally for the time you spent talking with me about this issue. While we disagree on the policy, you've got a heart for the underdog and for the student that's forgotten, and I share that with you. And so while we're coming at it from a different direction, our goals are the same, and that's to ensure that we have public schools in the state of Florida that are the model for the nation, and that every Floridian, regardless of the color of their skin or the wealth of their zip code, has access to the best possible education we can give them. And I look forward to continuing to work with you on that, and you know how I feel about it. My grandmother is a public school teacher. My mother is a retired special education junior high school public school teacher. My sister is a current Florida public school teacher, and my wife is a school teacher. Education is the great equalizer, and what we're doing here today is not about political posturing. It's about ensuring that we have the appropriate framework to ensure that our students have the best we can give them. And I come from this from a personal belief to the point that was made earlier that we set the policy. We absolutely do. We set the policy. And I reject out of hand the notion that only rich people or white people or men would serve on school boards if there's no salary. We all know from our personal circumstances how many of us who have not come from wealth have spent countless hours at our PTA, at our church, at our communities volunteering, oftentimes paying for the privilege of volunteering and serving. And this bill comes out of a fundamental belief that there are people in our communities, all communities, Rep. Valdez just as much in Hialeah as in Orange Park, that would love the opportunity to serve and do it not because they want to get paid or because they want to pad their FRS or they want anything else, but because they care about those kids and they want to serve. And that's what this bill is about. And so, members, with that, I would humbly ask for your favorable consideration on this joint resolution and look forward to talking with any member who has concerns, answering any questions you have. Lastly, Mr. Chair, these are tough decisions. I know I have been bombarded with phone calls from friends who are currently serving on school boards. I'm having a conversation over coffee tomorrow. That's tough. When you're talking about policy that affects people you know, it's difficult and it requires courage, but that's why we're here. And so I ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garrison. Having closed on his bill, Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
No.
Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
No.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
No.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Shove?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Woodson?
No.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
11 yeas, 6 nays.
By your vote, HJR 1461 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members, we will now move on to CS for HB 149 by Leader DeBose, Students with Disabilities in Public Schools. Leader DeBose, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. House Bill 149, Students with Disabilities in Public Schools. Most, if not some of you, are familiar with this bill. This is a bill that's very much needed here in the state of Florida, but has not yet made it out of this legislative process. Restraint and seclusion techniques are too heavily dependent on in the classroom, specifically when issues arise with students who have disabilities. Since the inception of the reporting system in 2010, there have been 86,969 incidents of restraints and 21,489 incidents of seclusion reported in our state. As we know, these types of incidents can lead to cases where students have suffered bone fractures, bleeding, and in some unfortunate cases, death. Restraint and seclusions are not currently defined in Florida law. These techniques are traumatizing in nature and need to be addressed here in Florida, especially when we talk about students with disabilities. Under this bill, restraint is defined and prohibits the use of straitjackets, zip ties, handcuffs, or tie downs. Additionally, restraint techniques may not obstruct or restrict breathing or blood flow or inflict pain to induce compliance. Seclusion, which is defined as involuntary confinement in a room or an area alone and preventing a student from leaving, will be prohibited in the state. To lessen the use of restraint, school districts will be required to adopt a policy regarding positive behavior, intervention, and support that outlines alternatives to restraint techniques for student management. To implement these policies, schools' personnel will be trained annually and must include safe and appropriate restraint techniques. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Leader DeBose. Members, other questions on the bill? Representative Rizzo, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Leader DeBose, good morning.
Good morning.
Leader DeBose, why this bill? We already have in Florida DOE guidelines. Every district has guidelines for safe restraint of students, of ESE students. What does this bill serve to do?
Well, first of all, there's no clear definition of restraint seclusion that's laid out. So this bill will put not only the definition of what that is, but also requirements in regards to training. And let me just say this. The need is there have been, again, over 86,000 incidents of restraint and over 20,000 incidents of seclusion. And some of these incidents, because we don't have a framework on the books, have led to bodily harm to some of our most vulnerable students.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
So, and I agree with you, and being one that was actually trained in the safe physical restraint techniques and have, in my years as an educator in the public school system, I had to use it several times. Is this going to change? You mentioned that you had some limitations as to restraint devices. And I know that there are restraint devices that are allowed under IEP for students with disabilities on an individual basis. Is this bill going to limit that usage or that that authority for the IEP committees to recommend what devices may be used?
I'm sorry.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this bill will do is it will, yes, put parameters and restriction there. If there is bodily harm or injury to the child, then you can use certain mechanisms, but it won't just be something that could just be freely used to correct behavior or things of that nature. It would be restricted to, you know, protect the student.
And Chair, just one more question, if I may.
One more follow-up.
Leader, what about students that are ESE students or special needs students that are being arrested as far as restraints that are placed on them? Will there be something in this bill that precludes those types of arrests that law enforcement must use?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, under this bill, there's a carve-out, those students at DJJ, home facilities, and I think there's one other, but to your question, yes.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that perhaps, you know, there are situations where law enforcement must arrest a student and they
Rizzo,
happen.
Is this a question or
oh, yes,
are we debating now?
I apologize. No. That's it. I just wanted to make sure and just ask if there is anything involving law enforcement using perhaps their restraints that they're used on a student with an IEP, if needed to.
You're recognized.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Can you restate your question, please?
That is there any place in this bill that would allow for law enforcement officers or law enforcement to actually use a restraint on a student with an IEP?
law enforcement to use restraint on a student with IEP?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to get back with you on that, because the way the bill is crafted with restraint and seclusion, this is directly within the classroom, and there is a carve-out as it relates to DJJ. So your question kind of bleeds into two. I think there, I'll have to get back with you on that. I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but let me just look at that again, and I'll follow up with you.
Representative, certainly you can get with Leader DeBose, and you guys can get that question answered. Are there other questions on the bill? Seeing none, are there appearance cards? There are. Marilyn Cullen? Not here. Danny McMillan? Waving support, that's Florida PTA. Those were all of the appearance cards. Members, we are into debate. We're into debate. Anyone? Rep Woodson, and then we'll go to Rep Rizzo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Leader DeVos, for bringing this bill to the table. I have had several parents, actually, reaching out to me during my career in county government where they had issues with restraining measures that were used on the children. And some of those children were badly hurt. So this bill was overdue. So I think it's a great bill, and I commend you for introducing this bill to the legislature, and I would give you my support on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Leader DeBose, thank you for bringing this bill. It is important that we learn about our special needs students in the state, and as trends have shown over the last 20 years, students with special needs are infused and in the school day with general ed students. Sometimes they don't know who is who, because that's the way it should be. And so thank you for bringing this, because one of the things that is important is training, that we allow for training of all school personnel, because all school personnel every single day come in contact with students with special needs. And you never know in many different situations when restraint is going to be appropriate and certainly necessary. So the key for me here is training, and I look forward to working with you on this bill, because it is something extremely necessary in our school system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members in debate. Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you again, Rep. DeBose. I was never aware of this issue until I have some constituents in my district wrote me the most heartfelt email and letter of what happened to their child. And if you don't know about these things, it's hard to correct it. And I thank you for bringing this up. And I hope, I don't know if this bill, this is not in my wheelhouse. I don't know if this bill does it, but I hope it does. And I'm going on the fact that you and Coach are doing it, and I respect that, so I'll be up on this bill. So thank you.
Thank you.
In debate, Leader DeBose, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be brief, but I will say that this bill addresses and protects some of our most vulnerable students. As you've heard from our colleagues and testimonies that they've received, and I too have received those stories. This is a bipartisan bill that has actually been around for a while, and each year in the House, we pass it out of the House. I'm very hopeful that this year that we get this across the finish line. My partner on this was Representative Ray Rodriguez, and he's over in the Senate, and he's still engaged. You guys have read the bill. I don't have to really explain to you the importance of it. I think we all get it, and I would look forward to your favorable support.
Thank you.
And with Leader that, DeBose. I close.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you, Leader DeBose. Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Onfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
No.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McLean?
Yes.
16 yeas, 1 nay.
Members, by your votes, yes for House Bill 149 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Committee.
You're welcome. Members, we will now move on to House Bill 173 by Representative Tant. Let me just tell you, it's 10:16. We've got to wrap up in a few minutes. So please, if you have questions, keep them concise and debate. That's an important issue, and so we want to make sure we give enough time to it. Representative Tant, you're recognized to explain PCS for House Bill 173.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for taking up this bill. House Bill 173 basically strengthens the workforce path called transition services for students with disabilities in our schools. What it does first, there's three main parts of the bill. The first part basically requires that, just like our bills going through the committees now, that starts workforce and career training and planning for students in middle school, that we drop the age of that to start in middle school with our disabled students as well. So what we want to do first is start commence planning for students at seventh grade or age 12, whichever comes first, so that they can hit the high schools getting that appropriate education as soon as they get there, instead of waiting till age 16. There's another key component that's missing, and that is information getting to parents and students about these transition programs in our schools. We have some transformational work going in our schools for kids with disabilities in their older ages as they get ready to learn how to be an adult and go into the workforce. Too many times our teachers just don't know and just don't tell our parents and students about it, and so the students can't take advantage of them. That includes career and technical programs being done in our schools, transition services given in our schools, and post-secondary options for collegiate and career tech educational programs in our colleges and universities and tech schools across our state that are available through the Florida Center for Students with Unique Abilities. The bill also requires that teachers teach our students and parents about existing state resources that their loved ones need in order to be able to maximize their success. That includes understanding that they could go and look at the vocational rehabilitation, APD, the Division for Blind Services, and of course the Centers for Independent Living. The final piece of information that this requires is that right now under Florida law, a student who's disabled has to defer their diploma in order to continue to receive their graduations. They can still walk across the stage and appear to be getting their diploma, but they can defer the actual receipt of it so that they can continue their 18 to 22 years of education to get these vital, life-changing, transformational services through transition and career and tech, thus getting them a job and getting them successful in the workforce. Parents don't understand what deferral means, and it takes a little time for them to understand, and they have to affirmatively choose deferral in order for their children to continue to receive these services. And lastly, the bill calls for the Department of Education to work with Project 10, which is the transition special program that's part of DOE, to come up with some uniform best practices that can help with this across the state. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tant. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? No. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? There are. Deborah Mortham, Foundation for Florida's Future, waves in support. Dr. Nancy Lothar. Dr. Nancy Lothar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Florida PTA happily waves in support.
Thank you. Those are all of the appearance cards. Members, we are into debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Maggard.
Thank you. I just
recognize.
Comment. Thank you, Chair. Rep, I just want to thank you for the work you put into this bill and spending the time to explaining this to me. And I can tell it's a labor of love.
Yes.
And I so happily support this bill.
Thank you.
Representative Rizzo. 10 seconds.
Thank you, Chair. 10 seconds. Transition is one of those words in education that people just really don't hear about, and it's a crux in a child's education. Thank you for bringing the bill.
Thank you.
Representative Woodson.
Just want to say great work, great bill. We support you on the bill, and we're part of your work on it. Thank you.
Representative Benjamin.
Great bill.
I'm a co-sponsor.
Thank you.
I'm up on the bill. Let's get it done.
Thank you.
Chair McClain, thank you for coming by and educating me on this, Representative. You know, certainly that's something that wasn't in my wheelhouse, and so I appreciate it, and it's a great bill, and obviously sounds like you're going to have a good bit of support for it, so thank you. All right, debate. All right, we're done. Thank you, Representative, and then Missy, would you call the roll, please? Oh, you get closed. I'm sorry.
Just thank you for taking up the bill, and I will say that my own son, who's 22, the trajectory of his life was changed through transition teaching, so it's critical to our populace and our workforce.
Representative Tant, having closed on her bill, Missy, now would you call the roll, please?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 173 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Members, those were all the bills that we were going to hear today. We thank you for your attention and your questions and comments, and I look forward to seeing you all next week, and I hope you have a great weekend. And we're adjourned. Oh.